We will now read from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14 as the context for the message today. It is about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So Luke 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Reverend Winston.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Great to have a big crowd today. And some encouraged as well, like my wife. Please keep your Bibles open, Luke chapter 18, and let's get into it. Let's pray before we get into it. Father, we commit this time to you, and I just pray for myself, Lord, that I would be humble as I speak, and Lord, may you speak through me. May my words be faithful to you, Lord, and help us all to be humble as we come to your word. We pray for your Spirit. To pierce any hardness of heart that we have, that we might know you, that we might understand ourselves better, and we might be changed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I know how much you love sport. I love sport. I've watched a lot of probably too much sport in my life. And so I don't think I've given any sporting illustrations up to this point. So I'll give a couple today. I want to talk about two very different sporting moments. The first moment is one that I'll never forget. It was 1995, the Rugby World Cup final in Johannesburg. South Africa, and it was the All Blacks against the Springboks, and the Springboks, the South African team, were huge underdogs. You might remember the great behemoth Jonah Lomu, over 100 kilos, he can do 100 meters in 10 seconds. He was an absolute beast, and he threatened just to destroy the Springboks single-handedly. But guess what happened? In extra time, the Springboks won by a field goal. It was an incredible victory by the Springboks. But what stuck in my head the most is what happened after the whistle blew. If you were there, if you saw this, then you would have been thinking, wow, what happened here? But what happened was the Springbok team, instead of jumping up and down, shouting and just, you know, this is the best time ever. They gathered together in a circle and they dropped to their knees and they prayed. In their moment of glory, they gave glory to God. And that's the captain of the Springboks who was shaking Nelson Mandela's hand at the time. So that was, for me as a young Christian, such an encouraging moment that these people who, you know, they probably, this is what their life was about, to, you know, this is the pinnacle of their sport, and they finally won it. And yet at that moment, they gave glory to God. It was so encouraging for me as a young Christian. Now, another sporting moment, next slide, is about this man. That's, of course, Anthony Mundine. He's retired now, I believe, but he called himself the man. Anthony the Man Mundine, and he would say, you know, there's no athlete like me. I'm the best ever. I've dominated two sports. No other athletes like me. And he had that sort of, you know, I guess swagger about him, if you want to say that. But he was a very proud man. And I remember one incident when he defeated another Australian boxer, Danny Green, and he called himself the greatest Australian boxer ever, and he won. And then he just jumped up onto the he was hoisted up on shoulders, and he went like this to the crowd, to silence the crowd. I've silenced all the critics on this day. I am the best ever, basically, he was telling the world. What a stark contrast. Thanks for the slides. What a stark contrast in those two sporting moments. Two very different people with very different attitudes. One group of people humble before God, giving glory to God in their moment of glory. The other proud and arrogant. And in many ways, the story today, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, reflects those two attitudes. One humble, the other proud. One man, when he looks at himself, he's full of pride. He's thinking, well, I am a very good person. I'm a very religious person. And so when he comes before God, he thinks God must be happy with him. The other man, when he looks at himself, he thinks, I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy. He recognizes that he's wrong, God. He's on the wrong side of God. He's rejected God so many times in his life. He's done so many wrong things in his life against God. And he recognizes that he needs God's mercy in his life. So he comes to God in a different way, humble and broken. And so the question this parable really asks all of us is, how do you come to God? With what attitude do you come to God with? Are you proud or are you humble? Jesus tells this parable so that we would come before God with the right attitude, with humility. So notice how Luke introduces this parable in verse 9. So have a look there in your Bibles. Keep your Bibles open. Verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Notice who Jesus is targeting here in this parable. People who approach God with the wrong attitude. Jesus says, don't be like this. Don't be confident in your own righteousness and don't look down on everybody else. So he tells this story of two men who go up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And Jesus says, tells us this story about how they approach God at the temple. And what he tells in this story would have been very shocking to the original audience, something that we might miss today. Because back in Jesus' day, if you asked the average Jew on the street, who do you think deserves to be accepted by God, the Pharisee or the tax collector, pretty much all Jews would have said, well, of course, it's the Pharisee. He's the one who deserves to be accepted by God. Now, when we think of Pharisees, if we read the Bible, then we would probably think, oh, Pharisees, they're bad. Bad, right? And we think, well, they're the ones who were jealous of Jesus, and they're the ones who had Jesus crucified. So they're the ones to, you know, no, don't follow them, right? Don't be like a Pharisee. But for most Jews, when they looked at the Pharisees back then, they thought, these guys are our leaders. They're the religious leaders. They are the ones who, you know, loved the law of God, who, you know, were the best at, you know, adhering to God's rules. And so if anyone deserved to be favored and accepted by God, they would have thought, well, it's the Pharisee. The Pharisees, they're so, you know, righteous and they're so faithful to God's word. And as for the tax collector, though, well, it's the complete opposite. As far as Jews were concerned, the tax collector, well, they were the scum of the earth. What were the tax collectors doing? They were collecting taxes for the Roman Empire. And the Romans, Who were they? They were the ones who were occupying the land that used to belong to the Jews. But what makes it worse is that those people who were collecting the taxes and giving it to the Roman Empire, well, the Romans, they were pretty smart about it because they got the Jews to do that. They got Jews to collect the taxes from their own people and, you know, give them a bit of an incentive. They could keep a bit of extra on the side for themselves, and you could become pretty wealthy by doing that. And so you can imagine how the Jews would have thought about tax collectors. You guys are traitors. How could you do that? How could you be taking our money and giving it to the enemy? And also, look what you're doing. You're doing this for yourself, for your own gain. And so for the average Jew, they would have thought, tax collectors, no way. No way would they deserve to be accepted by God. And so most people, most Jews would have thought, be like the Pharisee, don't be like the tax collector. That's what most people would have been thinking. But here, Jesus says something very shocking. He flips it around and he says, don't be like this Pharisee. Instead, be like the tax collector. Now, why does he do that? I mean, it's a pretty shocking example, right? Because I guess like a modern example would be like a doctor and a thief, or a doctor and a murderer, right? Something crazy like that. Be like the doctor, don't be like the thief, but you flipped it around. It says, no. Be like the thief here, don't be like the doctor. Why does he do that? Well, what he's trying to do is helping us to focus. You know, don't focus on the outside appearance, but focus on the heart. Focus on the attitude. What is your attitude? What is the right attitude when you come before God? And Jesus is saying in this story, have the attitude of the tax collector, not the Pharisee. So where does the Pharisee get it wrong? Let's have a look at this guy. He goes up to the temple to pray and look at what he says, verse 11. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. So how does this Pharisee come to God? When you first read it, you think, well, it's not too bad, is it? I mean, he's thanking God. He's saying, well, you know, I've got good morals, God. I do these things, I fast, I tithe. I mean, who here tithes 10%? I heard the average giving in most churches is about 1.5% or something. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's exceptional. 10% without fail. A very morally righteous, upright guy. But what's the problem here? The problem is the heart, the attitude is where the problem lies. The Pharisee is the exact sort of person that Jesus was talking about in verse 9. The one who looks down on others and who is confident in their own righteousness. So he's around, when he looks around, he sees this tax collector and he goes, well, you know what? I'm much better than that guy over there. You know, look at that, you know, sinful person over there. Look at what I do for God. Look at the rules that I keep. You know, I honor God in this. And the Pharisees, well, everyone would think, yeah, that's true, because the Pharisees, they were sticklers for keeping the rules. And you can guarantee that he was doing much better than the tax collector in terms of doing the right things. But where does the Pharisee get it wrong? His pride and his arrogance. And notice how he compares himself with others, other sinners, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and the tax collector. He looks around and he compares himself with other people in society and he goes, well, I'm doing much better than all of them. And he's proud. I'm good. I'm worthy. I can come before God and I can hold my head up. And in holding his head up, he looks down on others. He looks down on the tax collector. And the heart of the problem is his attitude. He thinks that the things that he does for God makes him worthy. His righteous acts, his tithing, his fasting, these are the things that earn him acceptance from God. But the opposite is true, because God looks beyond the actions and he looks at the heart. What is really going on in the Pharisee's heart? And it's a heart that's full of pride. Now, it's pretty easy to poke fun at the Pharisee, but if we're honest, I think there's a little bit of Pharisee in all of us, isn't there? We might not have prayed like this Pharisee, but I'm sure we've all thought like them at times. We look around at other people and we might think, oh, you know, I'm much better than so-and-so. And definitely when we look out in society, we see, you know, people doing wrong things, stealing and scamming and all sorts of things. And we think, oh, well, we're better than them. And we might not say it to their face, but we can often think that, can't we? Now, we might not say, hey, because I'm better than a thief or a robber, I'm worthy before God. But do you know how self-righteous we can be sometimes? We don't compare ourselves with thieves and robbers. This is how self-righteous we can be. Often we here in church compare ourselves with other people in church. And we say, well, I'm better than so-and-so because look at how regular I am at church. I mean, they don't come to church very often. You know, once a month or so, it's the most I'll see them. Or, you know, ministry. Oh, look at how much I'm doing to serve God, but they ain't doing anything. They're just warming the pews. Look at how much I'm doing. And we can get really proud about what we do. And I've got to confess that I sometimes think that way. And it's a great danger for all of us. I'm someone who I think, you know, I'm always thinking that God is pleased with me when I'm doing a lot for him. When I'm, you know, doing all this ministry, I'm talking to all these people and I'm kicking all these goals for God. And I think, well, God's got to be happy with me. And there's a great temptation that I'm measuring God's love for me by the things that I do. But it's a great reminder from Jesus that that is not the right attitude. Don't be proud in the things that we do for God. Don't look to the things that you do to find acceptance from God. It's not in you, but it's in the gospel. And we've got to keep going back to the gospel. Our relationship with God doesn't depend on what we do, but it depends on what God has done for us through Jesus. And that is what we need to always remember, to always stay humble about. And this is where we need to learn from the example of the tax collector. So have a look at verse 13. This is how the tax collector comes before God. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Do you see the difference in attitude? Attitude matters so much to God, doesn't it? He's looking at our hearts. And this tax collector is humble before God. Humble before God. He recognized that he was a sinner. He considered himself not even worthy to look up. And he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Pharisee, he got it wrong because he compared himself with other people. But this is where the tax collector got it right. He wasn't comparing himself with other people, but he was comparing himself with God. And that's what we all got to do. We're not comparing ourselves with other people, because there's always someone that we're better than. And there's always someone that's better than us, right? But we're not comparing ourselves with others, but with God. And this tax collector understood when he compared himself with Almighty and the Holy God, he knew he fell way short. He knew that he was a sinner before God. He knew that he needed God's mercy. So friends, when we look in the mirror, we need to be like the tax collector, to have the attitude of the tax collector. We need to remember, to recognize that we need God's help. We need God's mercy, because all of us fall short. All of us are sinners. And in fact, if you look at the whole of chapter 18, this is where having your Bible will be helpful. The whole of chapter 18 is really about the same thing. So let's, if you got your Bible, so open up Luke 18 and let's skim through all the stories in Luke 18, right? The first story, verse 1. It's the story of this desperate widow who has no one else to turn to, and she turns to this unjust judge. She's so desperate, so helpless, totally helpless. All she can do is keep begging this judge for help. She just falls at the mercy of this judge, who was unjust, but that's all she could do. And then we have our parable today, and then flip and go to verse 15, the next story. It's the story of little children coming to Jesus. And Jesus teaches in verse 17 that we need to have the same attitude as the little children. In order to receive the kingdom of God, we've got to be like these children, come to God like these little children, helpless, you know, totally reliant, like a child relies on their parent. We need to come to God in the same way. We need you, God. Then verse 18, you've got the story of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, well, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And basically Jesus says, well, try and do this. Okay, you're doing okay in that, but try and do this now. And he couldn't do it. And basically the story is meant to tell us, well, it's impossible. This is what it says. It's impossible for us, but it's possible for God. We can't save ourselves, but we need God to save us. We need to fall at the mercy of God. And then the final, at the end of the chapter, we see another story of Jesus healing a blind man. And how much more helpless can you be than being blind? Imagine being blind, how much you need help. And the story basically is, be like the blind man. Have the attitude of the blind man. Be needy like the blind man. And this is what happens. Verse 39, the blind man cries out to Jesus. And what does he say? Their words pretty much the same as the tax collector. He says to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. All throughout this chapter, it's a story after story telling us about attitude. The attitude of being humble, recognizing that you need God. And that is such an important key. It's an important key for your own faith, but it's also an important key to understand when we think about our friends who don't come to church, or just as what my wife shared earlier. Because most people, when you talk to them about whether they deserve to go to heaven or not, most people, like my wife previously said, well, I'm good. How can you say I'm a sinner? I'm a good person. I deserve to go to heaven. So how can you tell me otherwise? But what does Jesus say here? He says, well, just pause for a moment and just think about who God really is, how holy God is, and think about who you are and how far short you fall. Now, I don't know, who here reckons they could touch the ceiling they jumped? Who? Yeah. All right. Yeah, so most of us probably could, because it's not that high, right? But maybe half of you might not be able to. But just say the ceiling was twice as high. Who could touch it then? Yeah, right. Like none of us, right? None of us could. Right, maybe, I don't know, maybe Jimmy Yang at 4 p.m. jumps pretty high. But say it was like four times as high then. Like that really is kind of the standard. The standard that God presents, his holiness, is untouchable. None of us meet the standard. Now we can do some things that, you know, good things, but they're not going to save us because the standard is beyond us. We need to fall at the mercy of God. And this is what this parable reminds us. We need humility. Humility is so important. And Jesus says, if you come to God proud, that's not going to cut it. God does not like that attitude. If you come to God proud, he's going to put you down. You're going to get rejected. And the Pharisee in this story, he's the one who doesn't get justified. But what does God want? He wants the right humble attitude. The tax collector who comes before God, recognizes his need, and he is the one who walks away justified before God. And that's why Jesus says, end of verse 14, he says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So what does this mean for all of us? Firstly, the most obvious application here is don't be proud. Don't be proud. And this is the thing. Some of you might still be proud. As I tell you this, don't be proud. You might still be sitting there thinking, no, I'll believe what I want to believe. And, you know, I'm a good person. I deserve to go to heaven. I make the cut. And yet, this is such an obvious thing that Jesus is telling us. Be humble. Stay humble. Approach God with humility. We all need that to come before God, to recognize that it's only in God's mercy and what he has done for us through Jesus that any of us can be saved. And it reminds me of the great hymn that you might recognize, some words from this hymn. It says, nothing in my hands I bring, only to your cross I cling. Nothing in our hands can we bring to God but our sin. We fall at the mercy of God. We can only be forgiven by God. But here's the thing. This is the second application of this. One, don't be proud, but this is the second thing, which is great. I love this because it means when we fall, when we stumble, when we sin, when we rely on God, when we depend on God's mercy, what happens? Such a great comfort and tremendous grace, isn't it? Just like the tax collector who comes before God broken, you know, have mercy on me, a sinner. And what happens? He walks away justified because he put his trust in God. He leans into the mercy of God. And it's God's mercy that saves him. And so there's great comfort, tremendous grace from God for all of us. So let me encourage all of you. Stay humble before God. And as you stay humble, God will lift you up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you. Please forgive us for the many times which we have been proud, and we confess, God, that we are sometimes still often proud, and we take a lot of credit for all the things that we do rather than give you glory. And we think that those are the things that are going to save us, Lord. But Father, we want to remember that it's only through the cross that we are saved. Nothing in our hands we can bring, Lord. Only to your cross can we cling. So we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, God, that our sins are forgiven at the cross and we're loved and accepted by you because of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.